You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
We are the Mad Men of Masculinity. Your home for healthy masculinity. We're just real men having real conversations for you.
Good morning, Mad Men Mafia!
It's morning somewhere, man.
That's right.
It's morning somewhere, and wherever it's morning, you need to know that I'm Kirk M. Samuels.
And I am Jason B. Kendrick.
And together, we are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
That's right. We're just real men having real conversations for you. Right here.
For who? For you.
Masculinity. Better get that
ticker. That's right. Yeah.
So we've been having all kinds of cool conversations this month. I mean, it seems like it's just been on this crazy flow. We've had our guests almost every Monday, and then it's just been us on Thursdays. But this one kind of came up because you just had a little show with Rachel Maines from the Corner Cafe talking about relationships. And I wondered, I was like, well, and I heard something recently, and I was like, that's powerful. We need to talk about that. But being as you are, the relationship guy, I'm the research guy. I will gladly admit it. I research. I may not take as much action, but I know lots of things. I read lots of things. But you being the action guy, you being the relationship guy, how would you tell somebody to find their perfect match? I mean, using your experience and where you're at today, I mean, how would you tell somebody? Like, how do you find your perfect match?
First thing I would tell them would be to like and subscribe to Mad Men of Masculinity. Yeah, we're giving out free likes and free subscriptions. If you hit subscribe, we won't even charge you this month only.
All free.
This month only.
Gratis.
We got to, man. You know, let me keep it real, man. Every now and then I throw a little bit of personal stuff into the show here, but I don't like to put, you know, my private life on center stage too often, but I think it's a little bit apropos here today. You know, I had the honor coming up on 3 months ago. I went to public school, so it took me a minute to count to three. I had the honor almost 3 months ago to marry a phenomenal woman. And you know, man, it's been absolutely great. You know, I don't put her, you know, pictures and business. We don't do the, hey, look at us, all on social media and all that kind of stuff. I don't, you know, it's just a personal thing for me and for her. And it's pretty cool that I met somebody that, you know, that's totally, you know, on the same page with that.
Everybody off when you're not showing no pictures, you're not showing no dates, you're not showing no nothing. And all of a sudden you're like, Mr. and Mrs. Kirk Samuels there. But it's like, what?
Got that right. I posted the, you know, the pictures and videos from our destination wedding to Negril, Jamaica. And people didn't even know that for the past 3.5 years I had been in a committed relationship. And again, that has nothing to do with, you know, her. It has nothing to do with, you know, being ashamed of anything, I think. Or it's just a private thing, man. There's a public side and there's a private side. And she's shy. She's an introvert. She doesn't choose to do any of this. And so I'm not going to try to be the public power couple. And I'm not going to try to, you know, all that kind of thing. But at the same time, you know, she's phenomenal, dude. You know, this is it. Like it is freaking great, man. It is, you know, last night we were just kind of booing up, and it's great, man. It's the friendship is great. The, you know, we got just kind of our household getting that sorted is great. The sex is great. I mean, you know, it's fantastic. I mean, and as it should be, you know, we both like the same stuff and we both don't like the same stuff. I could go in details, but you know, you don't need to know all that. But I mean, it's just phenomenal, man. And so, but part of the back narrative to this project right here, the 7 secrets of modern dating, the he said, she said guide to getting from single to spouse, which, you know, one, Jason B. Kendrick is a major contributor to, you know, part of that was, it's almost like a documentation of the journey over the last 3.5 years in terms of the process from couch to spouse. And so, man, just, you know, it's a pretty amazing thing, man, when you can, I never told anybody this, didn't tell her this, you know, but the morning of our wedding, I handed her a letter that I had written 3 years before her and I met. And I wrote that letter on an airplane to my future wife. And it was phenomenal. I hinted about that a little bit in the book. I hinted about it because I didn't want her to read it and know it was coming. But it's phenomenal to read that, for even for her to read that letter and to not only, and it wasn't even like just pie in the sky. Like, I was describing what ended up being her. I was describing what ended up being, you know, my wife, you know, years before I even met her. And it's pretty dang cool. I mean, it freaked her out to read, and she's like, wow. I mean, she showed up in tears and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool. And so anyhow, all that to say, I'm definitely not an expert per se. I mean, we still, you know, I'm still broken. I'm still selfish. You know, last night I told her she spoiled because of me. And she spoiled and it's my fault, but I'm selfish and it's her fault. You know, I'm selfish because, man, she caters to me, man. And it's pretty cool. I don't brag, but I'm not ashamed of it either, man. It's pretty phenomenal. And so, you know, I wish that everybody could experience, you know, this type of relationship, even when it ain't perfect, even when we can't stand each other and all those kinds of things. It's pretty cool.
Well, and now we got the, you know, the result and where you ended up, but we're going to get into kind of the how to, and talking about the book, the first step, the first secret is look in the mirror. And for most of us, or I'm going to say in general, most of the folks out there who are struggling to find the right one, the right match, the perfect match, they don't know themselves enough to know who the perfect match would be because they haven't done the inner work. They're still living out their traumas and basically recycling those traumas with somebody else. You get, you know, the same person with different faces, different bodies, but you're having the same reactions, the same relationships, the same traumas, the same dramas and all those things. So it starts with you looking in the mirror, and if you're like us, I mean, Kirk and I both got to a point where like looking in the mirror, like, oh, in all of this mess and all my life, I'm the common denominator. So maybe I should start getting some help. Maybe I should start talking to somebody. Maybe I should start figuring out what's going on underneath so that I can use that to better myself in the future and make a better match and make a better decision in the future. So first and number one, if you want to find the perfect match, well, you got to know who you are. And that really starts with digging into what are your traumas? What is your upbringing? What are the things that are basically running your life? Because for most of us, we don't realize there's a little 8-year-old inside of us running our lives, a little traumatized 8-year-old boy or girl running our lives. And we wonder why, well, I'm an adult. I'm at this age. Why am I acting this way? Well, it's because there's an 8-year-old pulling your strings. You're like the, you know, little puppet on the strings of a little 8-year-old inside you who is traumatized and needs to be loved and nurtured and healed before you can find that person or attract that person who would be your perfect match. But it all starts with you in the mirror.
You know, you can't be any more right, man. I that for me, that was the beginning. I had a 30-year addiction to pornography and was wondering why none of my relationships were working out in the long term. You know, and it was because that was more important to me than everything else. That was my first primary relationship. That was my God. That was my finances. That was where I spent all my time, my focus, all those kinds of things. And so had to, you know, stuff like that is how you, man, you got to fix the world. But man, I kept ending up in relationships where, you know, I was in relationships with controlling women, for example, or I was looking for a mama figure, you know, somebody to nurture me and all these other kind of things. And, you know, a lot of times we want to begin that journey by looking in the window, but in actuality, we need to begin that journey by looking in a mirror and understanding that you're the only factor, the common factor in every bad relationship you've ever had. And so when you go in before you go out, you know, that's the beginning of it all. And then you begin to plant seeds, and then you begin to, you know, to once you get to that place, then you begin to aspire to share the greatness that you are and that you become with somebody else, man. And you begin to plan for that and all that kind of stuff, man. I mean, I literally put my first $20 bill in an envelope for an engagement ring when I wrote that letter 3 years before I met my wife. And in her engagement ring, I paid cash because all along that time, I was putting a little bit of money in that envelope in that envelope and in that envelope. When we found the ring, I literally just went in, pulled out a wad of cash, went in there, plop, plop. But, you know, all that kind of stuff began. The genesis of all that was looking at this guy. And when I can work on this guy, you know, I had a 40 year old man trying to protect a little wounded boy that was inside of me. And I love that you said eight, because I think that's around the age range where a lot of us are traumatized in some kind of way, whether it's trauma through somebody else or through life or whatever. And a lot of us, I think, are trying to nurture and protect, you know, a little 8 year old that's wounded, as opposed to healing that 8 year old.
Yeah, we don't realize why, excuse me, why our life, why we keep creating the same things over and over again, because we haven't realized that there's a little 8 year old inside of us that's pulling the strings and running the show. But I love that you brought up the letter, because the thing I saw was a guy talking about, you know, I was in a room full of ladies talking to them and told them, I'm going to teach you how to find your perfect match. And of course, all ladies on the edge of their seat, like, ooh, 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 he's going to teach us. And he said, write down every characteristic, and this goes for men and women, write down every characteristic you want in your partner. Write down age, height, income, personality, how they're going to support you, how you're going to be, how your life's going to be. Write down everything. I mean, write down all those little things. I'm sure you've done this. I know I've done this in the past. And then once you get done writing that down, scratch out their name or who they are and write your name and become all those things that you want in that partner. And it's great, because it sounds like, and I'm pretty sure because I know you pretty well, whatever you wrote down, you use that as your guidepost or your recipe or your directions to, well, this is what I got to become to get this person. And so you spent like putting the money in the envelope for the engagement ring. Like, you were already planning for that future outcome, not knowing how it was going to happen, but you already knew, this is who I got to be. I got to be prepared. I got to go through these steps and become the person who she would want, not just because I want her, but the person that she would want to be with.
And you're right. I mean, she'll tell you, she'll tell you that, you know, that I am the man that she's always been looking for, kind of thing, but I wasn't that before. So here's one prime example of that. I thrive with a wife that I would consider to be a submissive wife, right? Submissive doesn't mean weak, doesn't mean dumb. She's by far not weak. She's by far not done. She's got multiple degrees. She makes more money than I do by a little bit. She's definitely not stupid in any kind of way, et cetera, et cetera. But in nature, in terms of her, you know, she thrives when she's able to just kind of step back and be all the things that she wants to be and not any other things that she has to be. And she can put herself in a posture of submission, which is, in my opinion, is a space of strength. Submission is an exercise in strength, but she's able to do that. And in order to have that, I can't be, you know, a weak, passive, you know, I can't be the tail. I got to be the dog that wags the tail, right? I gotta be a leader. I can't want to marry a woman that is submissive in heart and a servant in nature. And at the same time, you know, I'm a weak guy that can't lead his way out of a paper bag. It just doesn't work that way. So I have to become, to your point, I have to become all the things that would attract that type of person. And, you know, there's a very few things, I think, maybe one or two things, maybe, you know, maybe faith and sexuality are two things that you have to align with. Otherwise, all of the things that your potential perfect partner is going to be is probably going to be the opposite of what you are or who you are in any kind of way. And so, you know, you almost have to understand that I'm not looking for the identical me. I'm looking for the compliment. I'm not looking even for somebody to complete me. I'm looking for the compliment of who I am. So if I want this kind of woman, I need to become that kind of man.
Yeah. And I love that you brought it before, like, you love each other and it's an amazing situation. Even when you hate each other, you love each other. And to that point, when you know yourself well enough, when you've done the work to realize who you are and then find out what's going to be that harmony, what's going to be that piece that fits, that is strong where you're weak and you're weak where they're strong and you're strong where they're weak and whatnot, you're going to find that they're going to rub you the wrong way sometimes. And if they truly love you, they're going to challenge you. they're going to see the best of you, the part of you that the 8-year-old doesn't see because it's too busy protecting itself. They're going to see those parts of you that you are denying or not seeing or not aware of because you're too busy living in survival mode. You're too busy soothing yourself with whatever the addiction is, or drugs and alcohol, pornography, you know, sex, whatever the thing is that you're using to soothe yourself. They're going to see past that. And so that's why doing the work and understanding what your traumas are, what your coping mechanisms are, what are the things that you use to get yourself through the day that you won't need when you have that partner in your life. Because in my experience, so many times that when I'm on my own, I soothe so much more because I'm lonely and there's nobody around. But the immediate time, like as soon as I got into a relationship, the last three times, like all those things stopped. So I was no longer lonely. I was no longer needing to soothe until my traumas came back up, until the relationship got, you know, challenging because I hadn't dealt with my traumas. And then those things started to creep back in. And that's what we, you know, focus so much on. You need to work on yourself and know yourself so that you can actually see and accept a person who would be the perfect match for you. Because most of us, that perfect person could stand right in front of you and say, I'm your perfect person. And you wouldn't see them. You wouldn't hear them. You turn around and walk away because you don't even know who you are and what you need and what would make a good match for you, because you haven't done the work to talk it out or to even get underneath all the emotions running your life, to get underneath all the traumas running your life, to get down to that inner child who needs you to raise them and heal them so that you can be the adult that you want to be in the world.
This is something that came up in, you know, we had a little at home date night last night, and by that I mean we got busy.
don't want to put your business out of the world or nothing, but
hey, nah, man, hey, you know, we're healthy in that way. But you know, somebody, you know, one of you, when two people get together, somebody's going to be the coloring book and somebody's going to be the box of crayons, right? And so, A, you need to figure out which one you are and which one slash are and want to be, and then recognize that the other one is going to be, you know, the opposite to that to some degree. The other one is going to complement again that, you know, my coloring book may have lines and it may have the overall, you know, big picture, but her crayons turn that picture into a portrait, right? It gives it color. It gives it life. We like to say around here, I'm the house and she's the home. Like I'm the structure and the space and the walls and the doors and the boundaries, but she makes our home like home, like, you know, a home. And so you got to understand, you know, all of those dynamics and all those back and forwards, you know, but all of that starts with all of it starts with knowing yourself and growing yourself into, you know, the person you are and all the things that you even want to be in order to attract the person that is the person that's supposed to be with you.
Yeah, it's so funny how many friends of mine and how many people I know who, when they first met the person they ended up with, either couldn't stand them or didn't see any benefit, or didn't see any of those qualities that they finally got out of their own way to see later on down the road. And it's funny because I've gotten to a point, and I joke about it, but I even coach this, that, you know, you want to get to a point where you can live as happily as you can be on your own without a partner, and then that energy will attract somebody who matches that. And that's why a lot of times you meet somebody who could be the perfect person for you. You don't even see it and you won't recognize it. However, they stay around long enough. If you open up long enough, drop your guard, drop all the boundaries and all the traumas around you, then you start to actually see them for who they are. I've had so many experiences where I'm trying to get to know somebody, but because they consider judging me by their past experiences by other people as wisdom, then they can't even see who I am. And I see that in so many occasions with so many people where they're not even able to see the person in front of them because of all the traumas, you know, in their ear that they're remembering from the past. So you do something that they associate with that past trauma, and now you're that person. They don't even see you for who you are. And that's why looking in the mirror, dealing with your trauma, getting therapy, getting counseling, and healing the inner child within you that's running the show will get you to that perfect match, will get you that perfect partner. And if you're not there, then it's time to stop trying to fill that void with somebody else and start to fill it with yourself. And once you do that, once you feel whole and complete within yourself, then you will be a match to that person who will actually be a harmonic match, will be a harmonious match to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When when I first met my wife, and we did meet online. We met on Facebook dating. This was 2019, the end of 2019.
Everybody on Facebook dating, there's still hope.
There's still hope, man. When we first sat down at Starbucks, I was like, man, I can have fun with this one, but it probably, this ain't going nowhere, man. Like, you know, it's, we, like I said, we can have a little fun, but, you know, no. And I mean, and there are various reasons for all that kind of stuff. And a lot of that was me. I was kind of, you know, a little bit jaded. You know, I went on several copious amounts of coffee dates and all that kind of stuff. And to your point, I just kept seeing the same, you know, narcifems over and over again. And it's like, I mean, you know, man, what is up with these women? And I kind of give it up hope and all those kinds of things. And so when, you know, when she came along, I kind of put her in that same box as well. But then I saw, you know, over some period of time, you know, I was sick and, you know, she dropped off, you know, some food and different things like that. And, you know, I saw these things and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Okay. Maybe, you know, maybe there's some hope. And I probably took too long. I took the long runway to actually take it serious and take her serious and all those kinds of things. And, you know, if you have her tell her version of the story, I, you know, just kind of ghosted her for a while and all this other kind of stuff. And like I said, I was just jaded. But yeah, at that point, you know, I just had the mentality of I technically, in a way, I wasn't even in the right place. And there's so many people in the dating field today that aren't in the right place because of what we're going through. And a lot of times, you know, people are out here dating who shouldn't be.
Yeah. And that's why one of the things we put in the book was slow down. Where most of us are so lonely and traumatized that we're love bombing every date. We're love bombing every person that we have some interest with, not taking the time to realize, well, maybe I'm interested in this person. I'm feeling the butterflies because they're resonating with my trauma. They're on the same wavelength as my trauma. So they feel like the right match. But when you start to do the work, I've gotten to the point now where almost like when I start to feel the butterflies and there's like, you know, tingles, I'm like, I need to go the other way because they're probably resonating with some trauma of mine that I, you know, haven't quite dealt with yet. But when you slow down and you start asking questions and you start asking things like, is that true? Am I sure? Is this really, you know, is that who that person is? And give yourself a little bit of grace to maybe say, no, maybe not. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm not seeing them for who they are. Maybe I'm just projecting onto them my past traumas instead of actually seeing them for who they are. And instead of looking at when they're being nice, when they're trying to be loving and kind and giving, instead of seeing that as loving, kind, and giving, a lot of times we see that as, oh, they're trying to run game on me, or they're trying to get in the back door. They're trying to do something. You know, it's like, what do they want? And when you slow down, then sometimes you can allow, you know, slow down, take a breath, slow down, take your time with the relationship or to get to know this person. Then you have the time for that voice in your head to quiet down and you might actually be able to see them for who they are. And then you might actually go, oh, this is actually a person that I could, you know, vibe with. This might be a person that I can harmonize with and actually create something with. But if you're only allowing the same glasses, the same traumas, the same mindset to judge everybody in front of you, then you're only going to be seeing the people who match your mindset. You're only going to be seeing people who match your past experience of trauma. So if you were struggling in relationships, remember, you're the common denominator in every relationship. And it's not them, it's you. And until you accept that and take that in and then start doing the work on you, you're not going to find anybody but that same person.
I don't get, and it drives me crazy when I see people just in a hurry these days. I see people go out on a couple of dates and all of a sudden they posting on social media, greatest person ever. And, you know, and all that, you know, I got to change my relationship status and I got to link, you know, is now in a relationship with this person. I mean, that drives me crazy, man. Cause it's like, dude, you just met so-and-so, like y'all been together like a couple, a month, maybe a couple months. And it's like, and you already proclaiming this and that, the next thing you know, all that goes away and, you know, and that person disappears. And it's like, man, you know, walk before you crawl, just slow down, you know, and take some time and let it grow. Let it, you know, let it mature into something. You know, you shouldn't want to fall in love. You should want to grow in love. Right. Falling in love is like, well, that, you know, you could fall at whatever the formula is for, you know, gravity, 9.8, whatever meters per second, whatever it is, the force of gravity. You know, but when you grow, that takes time. It's like that bamboo that, you know, doesn't do anything for years, and all of a sudden in a year it sprouts up 10 feet. And it's like, did it take, you know, 5 years to grow 10 feet, or did it take, you know, the 6 months that you saw it? It took a long time, man, to let that stuff nurture. But so many people want to rush and hurry, and it's like, give it time, man. Just, you know, just be chill. Just date for a while. Be in a relationship. You know, I mean, go through the steps, man. Go through the steps. I'm telling you, it's a real deal thing.
Yeah. There's a reason we promote so much therapy, counseling, men's groups, friends, family. You need people around you who can see what you're not seeing. You need people around you who can look around your blind spots. And especially if you're on that journey and you're new to that journey, you're just starting to dig into, you know, who you are in therapy and counseling and things, you definitely need people around you, because it's that 12-step, two-step all over again. You're going to take a few steps forward. You're going to understand yourself, but then you're going to step back and fall into those old mindsets, those old traps, because those feel comfortable. You got to build those new muscles. You got to build those new neural pathways, and that takes time. So having people around you will save you a lot of heartache, because if you don't have people around you and you're trying to white knuckle it, do it on your own, when you step back, you're going to fall right back into that same pattern. You're going to fall right back with that same person with a different face. You're going to fall right back into the same trauma. And without people around you to support you, you may take that as, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not worth it. I'm doing this counseling. It's not working. It must be them. It's not me. Having people around you, having a group of guys around you, having therapists, counselors, somebody who can see the blind spot and ask questions like, are you sure? Is that really what's going on? Or is that just your projection on this person? Or is that just your trauma coming back up for you to revisit so that you can heal it again? Because it usually takes a while. You get to that point where first you have to recognize the trauma. Then you have to experience it a few times so that you know this is what's going on. Oh, I'm starting to create the same thing. I'm starting to attract the same person. And once you get to the point where you can see that coming and then stop it, that's when you've crested. That's when you hit that fulcrum point, and now you can change that behavior. But it takes that time, those steps, to get to that point where you can recognize these behaviors that have been running your life. I mean, read any of Joe Dispenza's work, all of the neuroplasticity stuff. This is how you get to that point. You get to that point of understanding who you are by seeing it and having somebody point it out to you so that you can kind of go, oh, I didn't realize I did that. It's like, hey, man, did you know that you have a weird, you know, winky thing, or you do this thing? Oh, I can't see myself. I didn't know. Oh, well, let me tell you. Let me show the mirror to you so you can see this is what we see. And until you're willing to do that, it's very unlikely for you to find your perfect match, because you're not there yet.
Speaking in kind of my one big thing, I'd also like to, before we wrap up here, I speaking to men, I would say don't stop being around men once you start dating a woman. You know, don't drop your guy time. Don't drop all that. One of the reasons that attracted you to her was some level of masculinity in you, probably. And if you were doing, you know, guy stuff before, you need to keep doing guy stuff. You can't do the all of a sudden, you know, you ghost all your boys because now you got a girl. You know, you got that buddy that you always know, but in a relationship, because you don't see from her hair no more. Like, I need. And now my now wife recognizes that I need time with my guys. Like, I need time, you know, on the golf course, or I need time if we're going to, you know, if you're going to beat me around the racetrack, you know, or whatever it is, man. If, you know, another buddy of ours, Jeff, you know, he and I every now and then we'll go sit at a cigar bar, man. And we'll just, you know, sit in the lounge and just talk it up, man. And you know, we obviously do things with a lot of guys, and so speaking to men, I would definitely say, you know, don't lose sight of maintaining your masculinity even when you get into a deep relationship. Because when you get into that relationship, man, women have a way to kind of wear down the blade on our sword, not necessarily in a bad way, but when you get around the femininity, you know, your sword doesn't get used, and a sword that doesn't get used becomes either rusty or dull. And so we got to make sure we keep our masculine sword sharp by being around other guys. And you need to maintain that.
Yeah. And that's one of I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of the things that is a good green flag or red flag kind of test. If she supports you, when she says, hey, honey, I want you to do X, Y, and Z, you're like, no, that's my guy's day, or that's my men's group. And she may make the stink eye and not like it. But if she goes, okay, I get that. That's, you know, that's what you need. That's something that you're doing. Versus red flag, like, no, you're with me now. You don't need them. you're with me now and it's just us, that's a big, you know, trauma red flag, because she shouldn't support you in doing what made her attracted to you. Now, granted, she may not like it all the time, but that's part of what we as guys need, is to set up that boundary and that foundation of, this is what I need, this is who I am. So you can fit in with that. And if you want me to be the guy that you fell in love with, then I need these things. I need these guys around me. I need to do these things. And so that is a great test. I mean, they're going to test us all day long just to feel safe and secure. And part of that safety and security is you telling her, no, I'm going to do what I need to do to be the healthy guy that I need to be. So when she does bring that up, you just say, I'm sorry, honey. I love you, but this is what I need to do. Maybe, you know, and if it's a special occasion, you know, there's always something, you know, maybe you can lean, you know, make an exception, or, you know, compromise one time or whatever, but just like make it like, okay, this is a one-time thing. I'm going back. So I just want you to know, like, this is part of who I am. This is my structure. This is what makes me me. This is what you love. And I'm doing this for you, because if I don't do that, then I will start to not be the guy that you fell in love with. And then you'll be like, he just doesn't do it for me anymore. I just don't love him like I used to. Well, it's because you basically took him away from the things that made him the man you want him to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, you got to find a woman that really cares about what you need and wants to maintain and wants to bring whatever it is that you need. And you can, and you know, you end up serving each other. Mutual service, mutual submission is key and phenomenal. My wife doesn't touch a door handle, and at the same time, she gets mad if I get up and get my own drink. I mean, all these things go hand in hand, you know, but we have to maintain who we are as men, and we have to, you know, we have to make sure that we don't lose that huge part of who we are, because that's when all of a sudden women, like you said, women just get the, you know, yeah, I don't get the sparks and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, next thing you know, 80-90% of, you know, relationships end, you know, at the pen stroke or a hand or a text message of a woman.
Yeah, but when they start to get the ick, it's usually because we're not being the man in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy for guys, and we're not trained because we don't have the healthy father figures around as much as we used to. So they don't tell us that she's like the wave on the beach. She's going to try to wear you down. But you got to be strong. You got to be that foundation. Allow her to just break on that. And she'll respect you every time you don't bend. Every time you don't break, she respects you more and more. Then she feels safe. She feels like you got her back. You are providing, protecting her. But when you just let her wear you down, and that's, I think, one of the things we don't get taught and we don't realize is, like, we have to expect that. So many guys nowadays, because of the nice guy syndrome, they're like, I don't understand. I'm doing everything for her. I'm doing everything she asked me to, and she hates my guts. Well, it's because she doesn't want you to do everything for her. She doesn't want you to do everything she asks. She wants you to be a man with a backbone and foundation. And so being the best guy you can be starts with you, getting around groups of other guys, getting a men's group, getting a therapist, getting a counselor, working through all your stuff, become the best version of you you can be on your own, and then allow that to bring in that woman that matches and harmonizes with you. We got to stop chasing that. We got to start attracting it.
And it will happen. I mean, and I'm not even talking all the quote-unquote law of attraction, all that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about just when you walk into the room, you have a presence. You have a presence of who you are. And people can feel that presence. And when you walk into a room of a woman who matches that presence, then it can become something extremely powerful. And to your point, man, it all starts with ourself. It all starts with fixing us and working on us. And then allowing that to happen, allowing that to bring the woman into our lives that we need and that we deserve, and that makes us that's the complement of who we are, that brings us peace when we walk into the door. Somebody that cares, that maybe you like her to look sexy with something on when you walk into the door sometimes, whatever it is. And then at the same time, it's not just about us receiving, but then we return that, you know, we provide, you know, what she needs. And when we provide what she needs, then we just let her fill in the blanks. And then, man, that's how you find your perfect match.
And if you need a little guidebook, if you want a little support, you're not ready to hit the counselor, or you're not quite sure yet, make sure you pick up your copy of Seven Secrets of Modern Dating, the He Said, She Said guide to getting from single to spouse. It's on Amazon, number one in 7 categories. Both he and I contributed to this with 2 other fabulous ladies who were dating coaches and whatnot. So this is a great way to start. And then, talk to your boys. Holler at us. We both do coaching. We both do counseling. And if you're in the Denver area, come out May 10th. We're doing the Denver Great Minds. I'm emceeing that thing. Kirk's going to be there. We're going to have a good old time, do some networking. Look up DenverGreatMinds.com if you want to go to that. And otherwise, make sure you like and subscribe. Bring the smoke to us because we can handle it. We love y'all. Until next time, Mad Men out.